All right, so we are making our way through Unit 6 of Jews, Israel, and Jesus. And Unit 6 is called Covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. God has entered into various covenants with his people, and it's important for us to understand these covenants and how they work and what the terms and requirements of them are. Well, we have made our way to point D, which is the Sinai Covenant. This would also be called the Law of Moses. Now, the Sinai Covenant, in contrast to other covenants that we've talked about in prior classes, the Sinai Covenant is not one-sided, where God is the only one obligated, where he is saying, I will, I will, I will, I will do this. No, the Sinai Covenant is two-sided, which means if you do this, then I will do that. But if you do that, then I will do this. So it is conditional. It is two-sided. And also, the Sinai Covenant is not everlasting. It is a covenant that fades away. It does not last for all eternity. It does fade away at the end of this age. And we're going to talk about both elements of that in this class. So we're continuing on in point D. Well, we're up to point three, which is taking a look at the blessings and the curses for the covenant. So we said in the basics about covenants that there would be curses associated when a covenant was cut. So if you fail to keep the terms of this covenant, in ancient covenants, it would be things like, may your chickens gouge out all the eyes of all your herds and flocks. May the lightning come down and destroy your house and all your fields and fruit trees. It would say things like this, may the curses be upon you if you violate the terms of this covenant. So this was a very common thing. If a covenant was broken, yes, a blood covenant required the life blood, the life of the person who violated the terms, but there could also be lesser consequences or lesser curses or things that would happen if someone violated the terms of a covenant. So God cutting covenant with his people in this way was very standard. We talked about in the last class how he gave his commandments, his rules, his regulations, the things that he wanted the people to obey, and now he's articulating the blessings if they do obey, and then the curses that will come upon them if they do not obey. And remember, these people are in covenant with the Most High God, maker of heaven and earth, who they have seen in fire and smoke on the top of Mount Sinai, so that they would have a proper and healthy fear of the Lord. So to violate terms of a covenant with God is really not the smartest thing to do. And so the curses also make it clear that God has power to do things that no one else has the ability to do, and you really don't want to be on the wrong side of God. So it's just an extra encouragement to obey God so that things can go well with you. But let's take a look at what God articulates clearly in advance. The two primary chapters for the blessings and the curses of the covenant are Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. They're compiled there in those two chapters. Leviticus 26 is the first time that they are given to Moses at the beginning of the wilderness years. And then Deuteronomy 28, Moses is giving a recap for the people of Israel because they're about to go into the promised land. Moses is not going in with them. So he tells them again, remember, these are the rules. These are the regulations of God. Keep the ways of God. Do the ways of God. Keep what God commands you to do. Do it and you will be blessed, because if you don't, there will be consequences, and you don't want that. So let's take a look. We're going to start with Leviticus 26. So let's see. Leviticus 26, we'll start with verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you rains in their season. So you see very clearly, I'm doing the emphasis there. If you walk, then I will. Well, let's look at the then I will, because God has the ability to do things that only the creator of heaven and earth can do. So then I will give you rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last until the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing. So that means that your harvests are going to overlap. Your spring harvest and your fall harvest, you're going to have so much abundance that you'll still be eating your spring harvest harvest when the fall harvest comes in. The abundance is going to be abounding. So that's what he's saying, that the land is just going to yield and yield and yield because I'm the one who sends rain, and I'll make sure you have exactly the right amount of rain and your land will yield like no other. He goes on, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through the land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. So remember, God has sent them into the land of giants. And he's saying, it's only going to take five of you little short guys, and you can put 100 giants to the chase. They'll be so terrified of you because I will be with you. I will be the one that will chase your enemies from before you. Your enemies will fall before you like nothing. And he continues, I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you and will confirm my covenant with you. There it is. So I am the God who created everything and mankind and said, be fruitful and multiply. If you obey me, then I will make you fruitful. I will multiply you. And that will be the confirmation of my covenant with you. If you obey me, then I will confirm this covenant with you. You will be fruitful. You will multiply. You will fulfill my plan for mankind on the earth. That was God's plan and purpose for his people. And the law is the attempt of God to bring people into obedience to what he requires so that he can pour his blessing out upon them. But if the people will not listen to the Lord, if they will not obey him, then Leviticus 26 also articulates what will happen for their disobedience. We'll start with Leviticus 26, verse 14. But if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, if you will spurn my statutes, and if your soul abhors my rules, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, then I will. So if you, I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease and fever that consume your eyes and make your heart ache. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And the scripture goes on. I didn't include the whole thing in your study guide, but it continues to articulate essentially the very opposite of every blessing that God just said would be the blessing for obedience. So instead of abundance in the land, because God sends the rain, God instead is going to make the heavens like bronze. There'll be no rain. The earth will become like dust. It won't yield any food for you. The fruit trees won't yield any food for you. There'll also be mold and blight and all sorts of bugs eating up your plants and your food. So you won't have any food, but the bugs will enjoy it. They'll have a nice big salad for themselves all the time at your expense. And the mold will make it so that you can't eat. There'll be famine. There'll be plague. There'll be wild beasts that will be unrestrained. Wild beasts will come and eat your children. I'm not making this up. It's in Leviticus 26. The Bible is an awesome book. You gotta read it for yourself. But don't forget, he also says enemy nations will be allowed to plunder you. So instead of you chasing away your enemy, five of you putting 100 to flight, now the enemy, if you're disobedient to the covenant, the enemy is going to come and take over your land and scatter you to foreign nations. And you'll die in the foreign nations. And then the people who are left in the land, they'll die of horrible wasting diseases in the land. I'm not making this up. You've got to read Leviticus 26 for yourself. Let's look specifically at some verses pertaining to the covenant. God takes covenant seriously. So this is Leviticus 26, 23 through 26. And if by this discipline you are not turned to me, but walk contrary to me. So Leviticus 26 is actually seven rounds of discipline. So you disobey and God sends round one. Well, if you keep disobeying, then God sends round two and it's seven times worse. So let's look. We are about halfway through the curses. And if Israel continues in disobedience, we're going to look at something that God says specifically about the covenant. So this is Leviticus 26, starting with verse 23. And if by this discipline you are not turned to me, but walk contrary to me, meaning morning, if you don't notice, hey, there's been no rain and God is the one who's in charge of the rain, maybe we should repent and seek the Lord. So if this discipline, if these things come upon you and you still don't turn to me, God says, then I also will walk contrary to you. I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sins. So God's going into another round. You haven't obeyed me. I'm going to bring you sevenfold more into more curses upon you. He continues, we're at verse 25, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute vengeance for the covenant. See, there it is. God takes covenant seriously. You have violated the terms of a blood covenant. Therefore, the sword is going to be unleashed on you. He continues, and if you gather within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I break your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in a single oven and shall dole out your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So he's saying, if you obey me, you're going to have so much bread, so much abundance, so much food everywhere, you won't even be able to keep up. But if you disobey me, then the sword is going to come upon you. And if you try to gather together, even then you'll be rationing out your food. There will not be enough because I'm going to avenge this blood covenant that I have between you and me because you are my people and I am your God. So God takes covenant very seriously. And these are the blessings and the curses of the Sinai covenant. Well, Deuteronomy 28 says similar things. It articulates the blessings and the curses in a slightly different way, but you get the idea. Violating covenant with God is really not a good idea. But obeying God is a great idea. If you obey God, everything is going to go awesome for you. So let's look at the Deuteronomy 28 version of this very thing. Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I have commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And he goes on to say what these blessings are. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and increase your herds and the young of your flocks. So everything is going to be fruitful. Your fields, your wombs, your cattle, everything is fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply. God's blessing is be fruitful and multiply. He continues, blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. So that's in the kitchen. That's how you make bread. You need to bring it in from the field in your basket and you make it in your kneading bowl. You're going to have plenty of bread. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. So there it is. If you obey God, then the enemy will not be able to stand before you. He goes on, the Lord will command the blessing on you and in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Now remember, God's big plan was to bless all the peoples of the earth, all the nations of the earth through his people. So by his people's obedience, he would be able to lift them up in the sight of all the nations, and all the peoples of the earth would recognize that these people, the people of Israel, must have the God who is the maker of heaven and earth, and they will be afraid. And that fear is the proper and healthy fear and respect and reverence, so they will want to join up with the people of the Most High God. And in that will be their reconciliation and restoration to God. You see God's redemption? You see God's plan to restore all people to himself? He wants to bless his people because he's got something bigger going on. We're up to verse 11. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your livestock and in the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. So that's, he swore it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he swore to them to give it to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its seasons and to bless all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall go only up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So God is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who's able to open the heavens and abound rain in just the right proportion for perfect farming to produce perfect abundance. Now, when he's talking about the work of your hands, they were farmers. Everyone was a farmer. You lived off of the land. So to have the blessing of God on the work of your hands meant that you had food. You were well supplied. You had everything you needed. You were prospering. You were abounding in the blessing of God. This is what God would do if his people obeyed him. But again, let's look. There's another side to this. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So let's go to Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So remember, the blessings were going to come upon you and overtake you, but if you don't obey, then the curses are going to come upon you and overtake you. And again, it articulates everything that is the opposite of what we just said in the blessing of God. Things that you don't want to happen in your life, things that you don't want to happen to anyone you love or any of your friends, things that you don't even want to happen to your enemies. Horrifying things. You got to read Deuteronomy 28 for yourself. Every kind of sickness, disease, famine, plague, wild beasts, enemy, scattering, madness of mind, everything. It's all in there. But we're going to jump down to verse 45. God says, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They will be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever. So God had given signs of the covenant before. Well, the sign of disobedience would be the curses coming upon his people. That is the sign of covenant violation. That is the sign of covenant disobedience, that the people of God have not kept the commandments of God. This will be a sign and a wonder against you if you do not obey the commands of God. And we'll read just a few more. We're going to jump down to verse 58 and start there. So if you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. If you fail to fear him, if you fail to obey him, if you are not careful to do all the words that are written in this book, he continues, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. So not just some one-time affliction that, oh, okay, well, that was a tough time, but we got over it. No, severe and lasting, sicknesses that are intense, painful, and lasting, persisting, going on year after year after year. He continues, and he will bring upon you again all of the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you are as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So God, He delights to bless obedience, but this is the righteous and just character of God, that in disobedience, it says the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you, enforcing the terms of the covenant, because He takes covenant seriously. This is a blood covenant. You have agreed to obey, and therefore your life is on the line. God takes justice, righteousness, and covenant seriously. He keeps going. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "If only it were evening," and at the evening you shall say, "If only it were morning," because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. So, wow, God is saying, if you do not obey the terms of this covenant, then I'm going to do the opposite of every kind of blessing, but you as a people, you will go in reverse. Whereas I commanded you to be fruitful and multiply, I will reduce your numbers. So the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham was that your descendants will outnumber the stars of the sky. Well, if you're blessed and you've multiplied and you outnumber the stars, then I'm going to reduce those numbers to just a small remnant. And you'll be going in reverse. I redeemed you and brought you out of Egypt and out of slavery. But if you don't obey the terms of the covenant, then you'll go backwards. You'll go back into slavery in Egypt. And then you'll try to sell yourself as a slave, but nobody will even want to buy you. You will be so pathetic and so weak and so small in their sight, you won't even be good enough to be their slave. No one will even want to buy you. That is the reversal of the blessing if the people are disobedient to this blood covenant that they have agreed to obey between them and God. So Moses tried to warn the people. He said, you're going into the land, but when the Lord blesses you and multiplies you and prospers you, don't forget that it's the Lord who is blessing you. It is not your own strength. It is not your own smarts. You can't make a cloud appear in the sky and give even one drop of rain to feed yourself or produce food. It's not you. It's the Lord. So he tries to warn them to remember the Lord, even when they reach that time of prosperity. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. So some people abuse that scripture in prosperity teaching of, yep, remember the Lord your God because He gives me power to get wealth. Well, they leave out the rest of it. And that is so that He can confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers. Why? Because God wants to bless the rest of the nations through the wealth that He gives you power to attain. He wants to bless the rest of the world and bring the rest of the world into relationship with Him. That's what God has always wanted to do, is pour out His love and blessing upon all mankind, but He has chosen His people, the people of Israel, to bless them to bring all of the nations back to Him. So the power that God gives His people to get wealth is for the confirmation of His covenant with them that He will be their God and they will be His holy people.